Now let's go back to the crux of the whole one-world government plot and the maneuvering necessary to create another League of Nations to house such a government. As I have already stated, the conspirators knew that only another world war was vital for the success of their plot. It would have to be such a horrifying world war that the peoples of the world would cry out for the creation of some kind of a world organization that could assure everlasting peace. But how could such a war be brought about? All the European nations were at peace. None had any quarrels with their neighboring nations. And certainly their tools in Moscow wouldn't dare to start a war. Even Stalin realized that it would mean the overthrow of his regime unless so-called patriotism would weld the Russian people behind him. But the conspirators had to have a war. They had to find or create some kind of an incident to launch it. And they found it in a little inconspicuous and repulsive little man who called himself Adolf Hitler. Hitler, an impecunious Austrian house painter, had been a corporal in the German army. He made the defeat of Germany into a personal grievance. He began to rabble-rouse about it in the Munich, Germany area. He began to spout about restoring the greatness of the German Empire and the might of the German soldiery. He advocated the restoration of the old German military to be used to conquer the whole world. Strangely enough, Hitler, the little clown that he was, could deliver a rabble-rousing speech, and he did have a certain kind of magnetism. But the new authorities in Germany didn't want any more wars, and they promptly threw the obnoxious Austrian house painter into a prison cell. Aha! Here was the man, decided the conspirators, who, properly directed and financed, could be the key to another world war. So while he was in prison, they had Rudolf Hess and Goering write a book which they titled Mein Kampf and attributed the authorship to Hitler, exactly as Litvinov wrote Mission to Moscow and attributed the authorship to Joseph Davies, then our ambassador to Russia, and a stooge of the CFR. In Mein Kampf, Hitler, the pseudo-author, outlined his grievances and how he would restore the German people to their former greatness. The conspirators then arranged for a wide circulation of the book among the German people in order to arouse a fanatical following for him. On his release from prison, also arranged by the conspirators, they began to groom him and finance him to travel to other parts of Germany to deliver his rabble-rousing speeches. Soon he gathered a growing following among other veterans of the war, and that soon spread to the masses, who began to see in him a savior for their beloved Germany. Then came his leadership of what he called his Brown Shirt Army and the March on Berlin. That required a great deal of financing, but the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, and others of the conspirators provided all the money he needed. Gradually, Hitler became the idol of the German people, and then they overthrew the von Hindenburg government, and Hitler became the new Führer. But that still was no reason for a war. The rest of the world watched Hitler's rise, but saw no reason to interfere in what was distinctly a domestic condition within Germany. Certainly, none of the other nations felt it was a reason for another war against Germany. And the German people were not yet incited into enough of a frenzy to commit any acts against any neighboring nation, not even against France, that would lead to a war. The conspirators realized they would have to create such a frenzy. A frenzy that would cause the German people to throw caution to the winds and at the same time horrify the whole world. And incidentally, Mein Kampf was actually a follow-up of Karl Marx's book, A World Without Jews. The conspirators suddenly remembered how the Schiff Rothschild gang had engineered the pogroms in Russia, which slaughtered many, many thousands of Jews and created a worldwide hatred for Russia. And they decided to use that same unconscionable trick to inflame the new Hitler-led German people into a murderous hatred of the Jews. Now, it is true that the German people never had any particular affection for the Jews, but neither did they have an ingrained hatred for them. Such a hatred would have to be manufactured. So Hitler was used to create it. This idea more than appealed to Hitler. He saw in it the grisly gimmick to make him the godman of the German people. Thus, craftily inspired and coached by his financial advisors, the Warburgs, Rothschilds, and all the Illuminati masterminds, he blamed the Jews for the hated Versailles Treaty and for the financial ruination that followed the war. The rest is history. We know all about the Hitler concentration camps and the incineration of hundreds of thousands of Jews, not the 6 million, nor even the 600,000 claimed by the conspirators, but it was enough. And here let me reiterate how little the internationalist bankers, the Rothschilds, Schiffs, Lehman, Warburgs, Baruchs, care about their racial brethren who were the victims of their nefarious schemes. In their eyes, the slaughter of the several hundred thousand innocent Jews by Hitler didn't bother them at all. They considered it a necessary sacrifice to further their Illuminati one-world plot. Just as the slaughter of the many millions in the wars that followed was a similar necessary sacrifice. And here is another grisly detail about those concentration camps. Many of the Hitler soldier executioners in those camps had previously been sent to Russia to acquire their arts of torture and brutalization so as to emphasize the horrors of the atrocities. All this created a new worldwide hatred for the German people, but it still did not provide a cause for war. Thereupon, Hitler was incited to demand the Sudetenland. You remember how Chamberlain and the then diplomats of Czechoslovakia and France surrendered to that demand. That led to further Hitlerian demands for territories in Poland and in the French Tsar territories. Those demands were rejected. Then came his pact with Stalin. Hitler had been screaming hatred against communism. Oh, how he ranted against communism. But actually, Nazism was nothing but socialism. And communism is, in fact, socialism. But Hitler disregarded all that. He entered into a pact with Stalin to attack and divide Poland between them. While Stalin marched into one part of Poland, for which he was never blamed, the Illuminati mastermind saw to that. Hitler launched a blitzkrieg on Poland from his side. The conspirators finally had their new world war. And what a horrible war it was. And in 1945, the conspirators finally achieved the United Nations, their new housing for their one world government. And truly amazing, all of the American people hailed this foul outfit as a holy of holies. Even after all the true facts about how the UN was created were revealed, the American people continued to worship that evil outfit. Even after Alger Hiss was unmasked as a Soviet spy and traitor, the American people continued to believe in the UN. Even after I had publicly revealed the secret agreement between Hiss and Molotov that a Russian would always be the head of the military secretariat, and by that token, the real master of the UN, most of the American people continued to believe that the UN could do no wrong. Even after Trigvi Lee, the first Secretary General of the UN, confirmed that Hiss-Molotov secret agreement in his book, For the Cause of Peace, the vast majority of our people refused to lose faith in the UN. Even after the truth about the Korean War was revealed, how the Russian general, Vasilyev, head of that UN military secretariat, was given a leave of absence by the UN so that he could take command of the North Koreans and Red Chinese who were fighting the so-called UN police action under our own General MacArthur, who by orders of the UN was fired by the pusillanimous Truman in order to prevent his winning that war, our people still believed in the UN. despite our 150,000 sons who were murdered and maimed in that war, the people continued to regard the UN as a sure means for peace, even after it was revealed in 1951 that the UN, using our own American soldiers under UN command and the UN flag, in collusion with our traitorous State Department and the Pentagon, had been invading many small cities in California and Texas in order to perfect their plan for the complete takeover of our country, most of our people brushed it off and continued their belief that the UN is a holy of holies. Do you know that the UN Charter was written by traitor Alger Hiss, Molotov, and Vyshinsky? That Hiss and Molotov had made that secret agreement that the military chief of the UN was always to be a Russian appointed by Moscow? Do you know that at their secret meetings at Yalta, Roosevelt and Stalin, at the behest of the Illuminati, operating as the CFR, decided that the UN must be placed on American soil? Do you know that most of the UN Charter was copied intact, word for word, from the Marx Manifesto and Russia's so-called constitution? Do you know that the only two senators who voted against the UN so-called treaty were the only two senators who had read it? Do you know that since the UN was founded, communist enslavement has grown from 250 million to 1 billion? Do you know that since the UN was founded to ensure peace, there have been at least 20 major wars incited by the UN, just as they are now inciting a war against Little Rhodesia? Do you know that under the UN setup, the American taxpayers have been forced to make up the UN treasury deficit of many millions of dollars because of Russia's refusal to pay her share? Do you know that the UN has never passed a resolution condemning Russia or her so-called satellites, but always condemns our allies? Do you know that J. Edgar Hoover said, "The overwhelming majority of the communist delegations to the UN are espionage agents." And now, 66 senators voted for a consular treaty to open our entire country to Russian spies and saboteurs. Do you know that the UN helps Russia's conquest of the world by preventing the free world from taking any action whatsoever except to debate each new aggression in the UN General Assembly? Do you know that at the time of the Korean War, there were 60 nations in the UN, yet 95% of the UN forces were our American sons, and practically 100% of the cost was paid by the United States taxpayers? And surely you know that the UN policy during the Korean War was to prevent us from winning that war. Do you know that all the battle plans of General MacArthur had to go first to the UN to be relayed to Vasiliev, commander of the North Koreans and Red Chinese, and that any future wars fought by our sons under the UN flag would have to be fought under the control of the UN Security Council? Do you know that the UN has never done anything about the 80,000 Russian-Mongolian troops that occupy Hungary? Where was the UN when the Hungarian freedom fighters were slaughtered by the Russians? Do you know that the UN and its peace army turned the Congo over to the communists? Do you know that the UN's own so-called peace force was used to crush, rape, and kill the white anti-communists in Katanga? Do you know that the UN stood by and did nothing while Red China invaded Laos and Vietnam, that it did nothing while Nehru invaded Goa and other Portuguese territories? Do you know that the UN was directly responsible for aiding Castro, that it does absolutely nothing about the many thousands of Cuban youngsters who are shipped to Russia for communist indoctrination? Do you know that Adlai Stevenson, of all people, said the free world must expect to lose more and more decisions in the UN? Do you know that the UN openly proclaims that its chief objective is one world government, which means one world laws, one world court, one world army, one world navy, one world air force, one world schools, and a one world church in which Christianity would be prohibited. Do you know that a UN law has been passed to disarm all American citizens and to transfer all our armed forces to the UN? Such a law was secretly signed by Saint Jack Kennedy in 1961. Do you realize how that fits in with Article 47, Paragraph 3 of the UN Charter, which states, I quote, "The Military Staff Committee of the UN shall be responsible through the Security Council for the strategic direction of all armed forces placed at the disposal of the Security Council," unquote. And when and if all our armed forces are transferred to the UN, your sons would be forced to serve and die under UN command all over the world. This will happen unless you fight to get the U.S. out of the UN. Do you know that Congressman James B. Utt has submitted a bill to get the U.S. out of the UN and a resolution to prevent our president from forcing us to support the UN embargoes on Rhodesia? Well, he has. And many people all over the country are writing to their representatives to support the Utt bill and resolution. And did you know that to offset the Utt bill and resolution, 50 congressmen, spearheaded by Schweiker and Moorhead of Pennsylvania, have introduced a bill to immediately transfer all our armed forces to the UN? Can you imagine such brazen treason? Is your congressman one of those 50 traitors? Find out and take immediate action against him. And help Congressman Utt. Now, do you know that the National Council of Churches passed a resolution in San Francisco which states that the United States will soon have to subordinate its will to that of the UN, and that all American citizens must be prepared to accept it? Is your church a member of the National Council of Churches? In connection with that, bear in mind that God is never mentioned in the UN Charter, and their meetings are never opened with prayer. The creators of the UN stipulated in advance that there should be no mention of God or Jesus Christ in the UN Charter or in its UN headquarters. Does your pastor subscribe to that? Find out. Furthermore, do you know that the great majority of the so-called nations in the UN are anti-Christianity? That the UN is a completely godless organization by orders of its creators, the CFR Illuminati? Now, have you heard enough of the truth about the Illuminati's United Nations? Do you want to lead your sons and our precious country to the unholy mercy of the Illuminati's United Nations? If you don't, write, telegraph, or phone your representatives and senators that they must support Congressman Utt's bill to get the U.S. out of the U.N. and the U.N. out of the U.S. Do it today, now, before you forget. It is the only salvation for your sons and for our country. Now I have one more vital message to deliver. As I told you, one of the four specific assignments Rothschild gave Jacob Schiff was to create a movement to destroy religion in the United States, with Christianity to be the chief target. For a very obvious reason, the Anti-Defamation League wouldn't dare to attempt it, because such an attempt could create the most terrible bloodbath in the history of the world, not only for the ADL and the conspirators, but for the millions of innocent Jews. Schiff turned that job over to Rockefeller for another specific reason. The destruction of Christianity could be accomplished only by those who are entrusted to preserve it, by the pastors, the men of the cloth. As a starter, John D. Rockefeller picked up a young so-called Christian minister by the name of Dr. Harry F. Ward. Reverend Ward, if you please. At that time, he was teaching religion at the Union Theological Seminary. Rockefeller found a very willing Judas in this reverend. Thereupon, in 1907, he financed him to set up the Methodist Foundation of Social Service. And Ward's job was to teach bright young men to become so-called ministers of Christ and to place them as pastors of churches. While teaching them to become ministers, the Reverend Ward also taught them how to very subtly and craftily preach to their congregations that the entire story of Christ is a myth, to cast doubts on the divinity of Christ, to cast doubts about the Virgin Mary, in short, to cast doubts on Christianity as a whole. It was not to be a direct attack, but much of it by crafty insinuation that was to be applied in particular to the youth in the Sunday schools. Remember Lenin's statement? Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world. Then, in 1908, the Methodist Foundation of Social Service, which incidentally was America's first communist front organization, changed its name to the Federal Council of Churches. By 1950, the Federal Council of Churches was becoming very suspect. So in 1950, they changed the name to the National Council of Churches. Do I have to tell you more about how this National Council of Churches is deliberately destroying faith in Christianity? I don't think so. But this I will tell you. If you are a member of any congregation whose pastor and church are members of this Judas organization, you, your contributions, are helping the Illuminati's plot to destroy religion and your faith in God and Jesus Christ. Thus, you are deliberately delivering your children to be indoctrinated with disbelief in God and church, and which can easily transform them into atheists. Find out immediately if your church is a member of the National Council of Churches, and for the love of God and your children, if it is, withdraw from it at once. However, let me warn you, that same destroy religion process has been infiltrated into other denominations. If you have seen the Negro March on Selma and other such demonstrations, you have seen how the Negro mobs are led and encouraged by ministers and even Catholic priests and nuns who march along with them. As a matter of fact, the Mormon Church is about the only one I know of that is clean of that kind of Judas infiltration. But of course, there are many individual churches and pastors who are honest and sincere. Find one such for yourself and for your children. Incidentally, this same Reverend Harry F. Ward was also one of the founders of the American Civil Liberties Union, a notorious pro-communist organization. He was the actual head of it from 1920 to 1940. He also was a co-founder of the American League Against War and Fascism, which, under Browder, became the Communist Party of the United States. In short, Ward's entire background reeked of communism, and he was identified as a member of the Communist Party. He died a vicious traitor to both his church and country. And this was the man old John D. Rockefeller picked and financed to destroy America's Christian religion in accordance with the orders given to Schiff by the Rothschilds. In conclusion, I have this to say. You probably are familiar with the story of how one Dr. Frankenstein created a monster to do his will of destroying his chosen victims, but how instead, in the end, that monster turned on his own creator, Frankenstein, and destroyed him. Well, the Illuminati, CFR, has created a monster called the United Nations, who, supported by their minority groups, rioting Negroes, the traitorous mass communications media, and the traitors in Washington, was created to destroy the American people. Well, we know all about that many-headed Hydra monster. We know the names of those who created that monster. We know all their names. And I predict that one fine day, the American people will come fully awake and cause that very monster to destroy its creator. True, the majority of our people are still being brainwashed, deceived, and deluded by our traitorous press, TV, and radio, and by our traitors in Washington. But surely, by now, enough is known about the UN to stamp that outfit as a deadly, poisonous rattlesnake in our midst. My only wonder is what it will take to awaken and arouse our people to the full truth. Perhaps this record will do it. 100,000 or 1,000,000 copies of this record can do it. I pray to God it will. And I pray to Him to inspire you, all of you, to spread this story via this record to all loyal Americans in your community. You can do it by playing it to study groups assembled in your homes, at meetings of the American Legion, the VFW, the DAR, all other civic groups and women's clubs, especially the women's clubs who have their sons' lives at stake. With this record, I have provided you with the weapon that will destroy the monster. For the love of God, of our country, and of your children, use it. Get a copy of it into every American home.